shown to be the Son of God when he was raised from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. He is Jesus Christ, our Lord. The fact that Jesus was raised from the dead shows us that his sacrifice was accepted. It shows us that death had been defeated. And it showed us that God, who was the only one who could satisfy the wrath of God, had satisfied the wrath of God for you and for I. And so the cross is the payment for our sins. The cross is what redeems us. But man, Jesus being alive is the receipt that you get to carry. It is the evidence that you are saved and redeemed and brought back to a loving Father. It is the assurance that no matter what you face in this life, that you are going to be saved. You are going to live in an eternity. You have been brought out of death into something that is everlasting. And it is the good news of the gospel. That gets me really, really excited. Romans 4 verse 25, it says, he was delivered over to death for our sins, but he was raised to life for our justification. And what blows my mind about this, we often think that maybe this battle that was waged out between Jesus and between sin, between the Lord, the powers of light and the powers of darkness, was this kind of contest that could have gone either way. No one forced Jesus to the cross. It wasn't like, man, he was going to go and there was going to be this fight and maybe he was going to win. It's like, no, man, Jesus, in going to the cross, he knew there was an assurance in his heart that what was going to happen was going to pay the price for us, was going to save us, was going to redeem us. Like, he knew. Jesus chose this. In Hebrews 12, it actually says that before the joy set before him, Jesus endured the cross. And this often blows my mind because Jesus, at any point in time, he could have taken himself off that cross. He could have called down every heavenly host. He could have commanded angels to come and rescue him. Man, there is nothing that kept him nailed to that cross except his own will and his love for you and I. And I often wonder, what was that joy that Jesus had set before him? What was it that he saw? What was it that he knew that kept him on that cross when at any point in time he could have taken himself and gotten off it? And it was this, it was death defeated. He knew that he was going to go and he was going to drink that cup of wrath and he was going to give his life, but that in it, he was going to defeat death. He was going to come back. He was going to show that actually you might kill him, but man, you're not going to keep him down. So it was death defeated, that he would live forevermore, and that because he lives, we would live in him. My life, my salvation, the fact that I'm here is rooted in the life, the resurrected Jesus. Everything I live in is built on the foundation of him. He knew that there would be a people redeemed. He knew he was going to establish an everlasting kingdom with an everlasting king that would have all authority, all power, all glory. It would all be his. He saw that and it gave him joy. And so Jesus endures the greatest suffering out of the greatest love for the least deserving me. And so what does this resurrection actually mean for us? How should we live knowing that Jesus has been resurrected? And it is the reason for our hope. So because Jesus lives, our lives, my life, changes completely. Romans 8, verse 11 says that we have a promise of resurrection. You'll get sold a lot of things in your life. People will come with many pictures. But this, for us, is the most assured, the greatest promise made. And Romans 8, 11 says, if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. And so the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is the same Spirit that raises me from the dead. It is the same life that was in Jesus. It is the life that sustains me. And I love it. He promises this to his disciples. And then he promises it to you and I, that actually we would have a life, that the Spirit that sustains him is going to sustain us and is going to keep us. And so I love it that Jesus is not, he's this physical real person who goes and dies a physical real death and then is physically in a very real way resurrected. And so even now, our relationship and our hope and the life we lived is based on a physical, real, living, risen Savior. And that gives me hope to endure through hardship, through a broken world, through the trials sometimes even of faith. Because I don't know about you, but at times I find it hard to follow Jesus. It's not the easiest thing. And there are moments when I can't see clearly and I don't know what's coming and the world feels uncertain and faith can feel uncertain and work is uncertain and marriage is uncertain and finances are uncertain and everything feels uncertain. But I know this one thing, man, I am going to live. And so we endure hardships and a broken world because we have a hope that is secure. Do you know that Jesus is never, ever, ever going to die again? Man, no matter what happens, no matter what we face, there is a hope that is eternal because there is a King that is eternal. We find this hope and we display it to the world. The whole reason, if you are visiting here and someone invited you and you've never been to church before, do you know why you were invited here this morning? Man, because we have a hope we want to share. I don't want you to join this thing to be part of it or to grow our numbers or to... Because man, there is a hope for you. There is something you desperately need to face this broken and dying world, and it is hope. Second reason why we have such a hope in this resurrected Jesus is that because we become new creations. What I love, you know, Jesus was resurrected. He was not resuscitated. He died. He actually died. And then the Word calls him the first fruits of the new creation. So what I love about that is that everything we are is modeled on what Jesus did. So I love that for my life. Man, the wreck that I was, it would have been a sad story if Adam had sort of died and been resuscitated and it was just the same old messed up thing. We are not resuscitated. We are resurrected beings. Do you understand that you are a new thing? That gives us such incredible hope. 1 Corinthians 15:20 says, "But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. He is the first of a great harvest of all who have died." So you see that just as death came into the world through a man, now the resurrection from the dead has begun through another man, Jesus. Just as everyone dies because we all belong to Adam, everyone who belongs to Christ will be given a new life. And so the same is true for all of us who follow Jesus. Man, when you come to Jesus, you don't become this patched up old thing that will sort of limp across the finish line into eternity. The Word actually says, no, he makes you new. You know what that does for me, who's not always been this guy and still isn't often this guy? I come out of a massive amount of brokenness, having done terrible things. And man, there's often an accusation that comes against me from an enemy. Do you know what my favorite defense is? It's like, yeah, you're right, but that oak died. I don't know if any of you have ever tried to collect a debt from a dead man. It's quite hard. There's not a lot you can do. He's dead. He's gone. He might have done all those things, but man, he died, and there is now this new one. So for me, this resurrection life we live in, it silences the accusations of the enemy. We are made new. What was dead becomes alive. What is broken is made whole. What is useless is made useful and precious. What was enslaved is redeemed and set free. What is corrupted becomes purified. One of my favorite pictures of this is adoption. I have adopted two incredible little boys. And you know what I love, man, is they were born with an identity, an actual government-issued birth certificate that had a name and an ID number and a birth parent on. That thing defined who they were and their place in this world. And when we adopted them, the most incredible thing happens in the government, which is they get given a new birth certificate. And do you know the only thing that is the same on their birth certificate is the date of their birth? Everything else changes. Even the remaining digits on their ID number changes. They have new names. Their birth certificate actually lists my wife as their birth mother and me as their biological father. It is the most universal. The law says that like they are as if born of me in every sense of the word. And that is the picture of salvation and the picture of the gospel for you and I. It's actually we come out of their old lives have no hold on them. The parents who gave birth to them have no hold on them. They are in every sense of the word new and mine, new identities. And that is the picture for you and I when we come to Jesus. And so our past no longer defines us. Who of you have these moments where you just think about who you were? It's usually when you're trying to fall asleep and find some peace. It's usually then. You think about that thing you did, that mistake you made, that choice you made back then that seems to have determined and altered the entire course of your life. You know what your defense to that is? It is the resurrected Jesus. It is this truth. It is that that man, that woman, that person died. We no longer live in fear of death. And I'm not just talking like the big death that we're all going to die one day. I'm talking the little death, the hard parts of life, the waking up and going to a job that is terrible, or working for a boss that is terrible, or struggling and working out your faith with fear and trembling, or wrestling with your flesh, or working on that really difficult, really broken relationship. It is, man, that even in dying in those little things, even in bringing those to the cross and to the foot of Jesus and allowing his resurrected life power to come into it, even if all you do for the rest of your life is work on that thing till the day you die, it is going to be redeemed. Every broken part of your life is going to be made whole. If not here, then there. When you see him face to face, every relationship now that is broken and is not working and is a struggle, it is going to be made whole. Every illness and infirmity in your body, you might carry it for a little while. But man, there is a hope that is coming. And that keeps us and sustains us now. We endure with hope because Jesus is alive. And because we are alive, and because our life is not based and rooted in or on us, which, let's be honest, we can be quite frail, infirm, broken things, that life is rooted on an eternal, resurrected Jesus who is never, ever, ever going to die again. Man, and then possibly my greatest reason for hope is this. It is that Jesus didn't just minister to us then. Did you know that there is an ongoing ministry that Jesus talks about? And as much as we will often talk about loving the Lord and serving the Lord and following the Lord, did you know that he serves you? That's the wildest concept to me. We took him and we nailed him to a cross and we killed him. And he serves us. And the word says that right now Jesus is alive and that he is interceding for you. People sometimes come to me, they're like, will you pray for me? And I love doing that. But man, did you know that Jesus is praying for you? My prayers on my best day might be average, but man, Jesus, you know he actually prays for you. Did you know he intercedes for you? Romans 8:34, it says, who then is the one who condemns you? No one. Christ Jesus who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is interceding for you. You have got the Father's ear through the person of Jesus. Does that not change how you feel about your life? Does that not change how you feel about your struggles? Does that not change those moments of hopelessness, knowing that Jesus himself is interceding for you? Hebrews 7:25 says, consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. And I love that word, uttermost. It is a great word. It means completely, in every aspect, to every extent. And it is always, because he always lives making intercession for you. So he will save you to the uttermost today. And when you mess up, which you're going to, There is a Jesus who is always interceding. He is still praying for you. Every moment of every day, at the right hand of the Father, praying for you. 1 John 2 verse 1, my dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. We don't have a license to sin. We are not supposed to do it. Sin sucks because it messes up the relationship between us and God. It causes a separation. It creates brokenness. It causes brokenness in our relationships, brokenness in ourselves. It perpetuates the brokenness in the world. So yes, we should fight it. But man, when we do, if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. I don't know if any of you have ever needed legal help. If you've ever had to go to court and have someone defend you, I know some good lawyers. But man, if there's one guy I want advocating my case, it is the one who sees everything, knows everything, is perfectly righteous, is perfectly just, and is still the one who's able to say, not only do I advocate for Adam, but I've covered what he did. I've paid the penalty for what he did. We get to stand innocent before the Father because of the work of the cross. And I love it. Jesus, because he is alive, is doing this constantly without ceasing. He's our defender. Every accusation that comes, and the problem with many accusations is that they are true. You can accuse me of a lot of things and I will ignore you, but the ones that are true, those are the ones that stick. Those are the ones that hurt. Those are the ones that I struggle to counteract. And the only defense I have in those moments is like, yeah, you're right, but someone has paid for it. And that man is dead. And what you're seeing is a new Adam, a new man. And it sounds scandalous. It sounds like a ripoff. It is. Man, the gospel is a scandalous thing, but I'll tell you what, I know a good deal when I see one. I'm going to take that thing and run. I know I don't deserve it. I know I'm not worthy of it. But man, I know that I need that, because when I stand and I've got to defend myself, I have nothing to say. A beck full thunder. He's our mediator. Man, when we get this wrong, and we do, and sin does offend, sin offends the Father. He hates it. But when we sin, and when we come to him, and when we stand under the covering of the cross, Jesus mediates for you. He mediates between us and the Father all the time, advocating your case, defending you. And it's not that we have this angry Father who's trying to get us and Jesus who's trying to defend us. It's no. When the Father is looking at us, he is seeing his Son. He is seeing the blood poured out. He is seeing the defense we have. He is seeing his wrath satisfied. You and I no longer fear the wrath of God, because we know it's been, that cup has been drunk to the full. And so we come to him knowing that there's forgiveness, knowing that we don't need to fear punishment. So as we land this, I want to talk about his disciples. And it's the most incredible story. I was reading up just on what happened to the disciples. And we don't know how many of them died. But we do know that there was only one who made it to old age, and it was John. And even then, there are various accounts of how he suffered. He was possibly even at a stage boiled in oil for his faith. Survived that. Went on to die of old age. But every single one of the other disciples, besides Judas, was martyred for their faith. They were beheaded, shot with arrows, crucified, stabbed, cut with swords. And you've got to wonder what kind of man holds to a story and holds to a truth to that degree unless he has a hope. Why would they endure it? Why would they go through it? Why should we persevere in our faith to the very end, despite the hardships, despite the times, the difficulty, despite the opposition, despite how it makes the world hate us? Why should we? They had a hope. They had seen Jesus alive. And they knew he was alive forevermore. And they knew that they were going to see him again face to face. And it gave them a hope. How many of you live like that? How many of us live like that? And because Jesus is alive, death is not the end for you and I. Sin doesn't have the final word over our lives. Hope is stronger than our suffering. And this morning, I want us to know that that's not just this loose, ephemeral hope for then one day. It is for now. It is that Jesus now is alive. Jesus now is with us. And so how should we live? What should we do with this incredible hope? And so I want to share with you the story of Peter, man. I love Peter, disciple of Jesus. Friend of Jesus. And in Jesus' most needful moment, Peter abandoned, he denies him. And I love this because he saw Jesus. He knew who Jesus was. He declared Jesus was the Son of God. Jesus even warns him, Peter, you're going to deny me. And Peter's like, never, Lord. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to be that guy. And still, he denies Jesus when Jesus is arrested out of fear for his own life. And you got to wonder, what kind of weak faith was that? That this guy literally saw and walked with Jesus. And then denies him. And we would have thought like, yo, man, I don't know if there's a lot of coming back from that. Like if Jesus physically appeared to you and had a long conversation with you and walked with you for years of your life, and then you deny him, you would think, oh, I don't know. How do we come back from that? And what I love is that it is the resurrected Jesus that restores Peter. Jesus knew he was going to do it. And still, when Jesus is resurrected, he comes to Peter and says, Peter, I know you failed. I know you messed up. But I am going to restore you. I am going to reaffirm you. I'm going to recommission you. And he doesn't just bring him back in and say, okay, you know, it's cool. We're going to bury that. He still says to Peter, man, the call on your life. I'm going to build my church on you. And Peter goes on. What you and I are living in now is the fruit of Peter's life. This church we are a part of was built on Peter's ministry for much of his life. And I felt like for us, man, maybe like Peter, you failed. Maybe, well, you have. You don't need to think about that one. I can answer an easy question for you. You have. And I'm not trying to be judgmental or unkind to you, but I failed. We all do because we're still broken. We are still being fully redeemed and saved. Maybe you've wondered. I felt like for so many of us, man, we have made the mistake, that one mistake that haunts you, that one thing that you think has changed and altered the course of your life forever. In some sense, maybe we've denied Jesus. In some sense, we've denied our faith. In some sense, we've broken a relationship or caused some hurt that we think is irredeemable. And so we walk around feeling like second-class citizens. I feel like the living Jesus is here this morning saying, no. No, I want to silence the accuser this morning. I want to redeem you this morning. I want to reestablish you this morning. I want to recommission you this morning. Because that is our living God. His word says that he is able to save to the uttermost. I feel like so many of us live saved halfway. I feel like Jesus is saying, nah, I paid it in full. And I think we underestimate at times Jesus' mercy. We feel like maybe we need to carry a little bit more of the punishment, or we need to carry a little bit more of the cross. And this morning, Jesus is saying, I paid it, man. It is finished. And so I want to ask you and call you and encourage you, would you live with hope? Even if you're still living in the consequences, would you live with hope? Knowing that those consequences, even if you carry them for the rest of your life, they are only for this life, and that there is a hope eternal in the person of Jesus, and that even then, he is able, I don't care how messed up your story and your situation is, my Jesus can work in it, my Jesus can redeem it, my Jesus can save it, and it might be a process, but man, I tell you what, he is going to start it, and if you will let him, he will start it this morning.